On the show today, we have the Community Impact Fund's very own Judah Music talking about, well, the Community Impact Fund, what it is and how it works and how it really jives with the credit union mission. So check it out. And before we get on with the interview, here's a quick word from our sponsor.
What are some of the most incredible parts of owning a business?
The most incredible part is the journey of it all. The people you get to meet, the rooms you get to be in. That's hands down the best part is you don't know where it's going to take you, but it's the best ride ever. Get through all the downs because the ups are way better.
Brought to you by Canvas Credit Union.
Hey everybody, Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome to our show. And on today's program, we have Mr. Judah Music from the Community Impact Fund. Judah, how are you, sir?
Good. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. Yeah, I'm very interested to hear about your organization here. And so it's just, before we dive into the kind of the details of the interview, tell us a little bit about the Community Impact Fund and what it does and how did it get started?
Sure. So my background actually originally was commercial airline pilot through my formal training in college. I was training to be a pilot. I realized I was way too entrepreneurial for that. And those things don't mix well. So I left that industry and really got into software development. So for the last about 15 years, I've been doing custom software development as a service, and then a number of startups along the way as well in different industries. And in 2017, I happened to be, it was a slow time over Christmas, and I happened to Google my own county, which I encourage everybody to do. Just Google, what are the needs in fill in the blank county?
Okay.
And for me, what popped up was two things. One, we were the fourth highest income county in the U.S. at the time, which was interesting. There was out of the top 10, five in D.C., three in New York, one in New Jersey, and then Douglas County, Colorado, where I happen to live. So that was interesting.
Yeah.
But the second thing that popped up right below it was that we had 45,000 households in Douglas County living in suburban poverty to the point of hunger or food insecurity.
Oh, my gosh.
And that's exactly what people say, especially if you've driven through this community is, wow, I would never imagine that many households living in poverty.
Mm-hmm.
On top of that, that number was growing at a pretty steady clip at 10% a year. It was increasing. And so I went, I'm just a tech entrepreneur, right? Happened to come across the stat, but I like to get out of the building to talk to people. So the next day I found myself in the office of the CEO of that food bank, and his name was Dennis Gordon. And I just asked him, hey, where'd you get this data around poverty in Douglas County? And he pointed me to the department at the county that studied it, but he shared something with me that really was the starting point of CIF. And it was that we don't lack resources. There's plenty of resources to help support these families. What we lack is participation from these families, because most of us are constantly violating their dignity. In other words, we're calling them out into the public forum. We call them into line at a food bank. We call them into a HR person's office to fill out some paperwork. We give them a special card to go shopping with at the grocery store. And his guess was that 90% of those families would never participate because of a violation of this dignity. So
completely, yeah.
Longer story is I thought that was interesting problem we're solving around dignity, and we knew privacy was a component and that technology could play a role.
Mm-hmm.
So we partnered with our local grocery store, King Supers. We used their mobile ordering app to help families in our neighborhood go shopping, and we put a credit card on file. We didn't think it would have that much impact, but lo and behold, the impact was off the charts, and the stories we got back from those families as far as what that meant for them kind of went viral in our circle, and we saw about $300,000 in donations come in within about a month.
Good grief.
And I didn't even have a nonprofit or anywhere to put it, so we actually started the Community Impact Fund just based on that little experiment, if you will, of helping our neighbors with acquiring groceries. And that was the founding of the Community Impact Fund. And since then, we've been really working to evolve that work.
Yeah. So speaking of evolution, so how has it evolved? I mean, can you share a couple of examples of how it works? Because obviously it's kind of you kind of mentioned it in your previous response. It's this area that where people can use it for donations and things like that. So what's the use now, and has it evolved since then?
Yeah. So how it evolved is we used that money. We built our own app, if you will, and it was a direct to consumer nonprofit model. But what I noticed was that it was always employers that would come up to me after I would speak on this and ask, hey, can I use this for my employees? They're struggling with these financial problems, whether it's cash flow, lack of liquidity, or emergency savings, too much consumer debt. And it took me about 3 months, if I'm honest, to like really catch on to that. And I went up to the mountains with a group of CEOs to talk about this intersection of community impact and doing well in business.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a whole movement around this. And one of those CEOs was Pat Ahern, the CEO of Red Rocks Credit Union.
Yeah.
And we actually carpooled up that to that meeting. And he shared with me that his, you know, the credit union is really a model that was designed to have this type of impact in the community. You know, the founding history of employees coming together from a large employer, the tax status of a 501c14, the products that we offer, you know, lending, savings, helping people lower interest rates and lower fees. And then the mission, the why, the purpose of a credit union, those all align to be a prime organization to help have this type of community impact. But then he said, if I'm frank with you, you know, we're not really organized. We don't have a real strategy. In fact, a lot of people look at us as, you know, second-rate community banks that they just don't see relevance in.
Yeah.
And so what happened next as far as the evolution was I joined Pat as the chief innovation officer at Red Rocks Credit Union for about the 2 year mm-hmm. time period as we started to innovate around how the credit union may have a role in the community's needs being met. And how do you tie that good that you do by helping people with key issues? Mm-hmm. And we're talking about transportation, we're talking about housing, we're talking about food insecurity, all the causes that nonprofits and the government are working to solve and that we as credit unions fund with charitable dollars, but how that links back to the products that we actually offer as a credit union, right? Because they're all tied into people's finances.
Yes.
So if we solve problems at the root, our theory, if you will, was if we could solve some of these financial problems at a root, we would have more community impact than the government, the nonprofits and the faith-based community just by doing what we were designed to do
mm-hmm.
in a different way, in a very clear way. So the evolution was really starting to work with the credit union to figure out how meeting these types of needs in the community was good for their business.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, as you're talking, I'm just thinking this is in the credit union wheelhouse. This is in the DNA for sure. So
literally.
Seems like a no-brainer. I want to get back to the dignity part of it, though. I mean, why is the dignity so important here? Because I think you alluded to it in your first response, but I just want to get a clarification here.
So back to the story of the food bank, a lot of well-intended organizations have, you know, corporate social responsibility programs. A lot of charities are designed to be solving these problems of helping our community with these resources.
Right,
and if you go back to that conversation with the food bank CEO, what he said could not be more true. And I just want everyone to understand that people will not participate with your solution if you're going to call them out and shame them and embarrass them in the process. So dignity is the key in a couple of respects. Two main things I'll mention. One is just respecting the human being
mm-hmm.
and not calling them out and to embarrass them. And it's a subtle thing. We're not doing it. No organization's doing this to be... you know, to actually shame people, but it is the act of actually sitting down with HR, the act of standing in line at a food bank is embarrassing.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you're admitting you have a financial problem right. that you can't solve on your own. And right. so if people were not willing to participate with us based on that, how do we just work to respect that person's dignity in a way that they will participate? So by using technology for us, what we learned is if we can keep things anonymous using technology, then they're willing to participate and we can help. And the impact is the same.
Yeah.
Like the impact doesn't change.
Completely.
The other thing we learned was how to give a hand up and not just a hand out. And that's a real key to our work now is a lot of charities and a lot of people doing these type of community impact are giving handouts, writing checks, giving grants, et cetera. And we're no different. However, we've learned that, you know, a lot of times lending is the better alternative to giving. And the reason for that goes back to dignity.
Okay.
And the second component of dignity is, you know, empowering that person to get better and their ability to contribute back to the value equation, if that makes sense. So instead of just giving somebody $500 because they have a need, we can lend them $500 at 0% interest with a flexible payback. That helps them save for emergencies.
Right. Right.
And so we're now innovating around dignity still in this idea of an impact loan that credit unions can offer that eliminates fees, eliminates interest. It's done through the charitable component of their foundation or mm-hmm. through the community impact fund. And that's another big way to engage people in a two-way value exchange instead of just giving them a handout.
Exactly. Yeah. Gosh, the psychology of this is fascinating.
Yeah,
how it, oh my gosh, that's so, it's so, man. But you guys have proven, I mean, you guys are proven that it works. And it's,
yeah, just, we've been doing it for since early 2018. We've been doing this. And
that's awesome. Can you share why most organizations are not maximizing their community impact?
Yeah. So it comes down to causes. I'll just share a story of the typical CSR. So when I say CSR, community or corporate social responsibility, corporate social responsibility program.
Yeah.
So what most organizations do is they pick a cause and they pick a cause that they think their stakeholders really care about or that they care about, the CEO or the board. So causes, typical causes would be affordable housing, global warming, poverty, food insecurity, right? Transportation in your community. So you pick a cause. Most businesses think their role is to just generate a profit so that they can give to that cause. Mm-hmm. And then they give, and a lot of times it's on a big cardboard check and they make it a PR component. And that's corporate social responsibility, right? That is it in a nutshell. Well, what the research shows is that's actually disengaging to your very value chain that you're trying to engage. And what I mean by that is the data. So United Way has done research and they have a term called ALICE. It stands for asset limited, income constrained, but employed.
Mm-hmm.
It turns out that about 30 to, now with COVID, closer to 40% of all Americans are in this position, right? Where they don't have an emergency fund, they're hardworking, they're not frivolous with their money, but they're falling behind.
Yeah.
Right? They're actually negative cash flow. So think about them. They have the exact needs that those causes are trying to address, right? They're not paying their rent on time. They're struggling to buy groceries for their kids. They're struggling to keep up with their medical bills. So what they see when their business writes the big cardboard check to a charity, a national charity that's solving any one of these causes, mm-hmm. is that the business is actually out of touch with their own employee group or their own membership.
Yeah.
Because they can't tap into that resource. And what in their mind, they're going, oh my gosh, we're solving this problem of hunger while my kids are going hungry and my CEO doesn't even know about it.
Yeah, yeah.
And if only we could reach inwards and meet the needs of our employees and then our members and then our community with a little bit of strategy to that, right? Because no amount of money is going to solve world hunger.
Right.
But strategy deployed in a sequential order, like let's meet the needs of our community, but let's define our community a little bit smaller.
Mm-hmm.
Let's define it by our employee group, and then let's define it by our membership. And then if there's additional resources, we can go outwards. And so all we're doing is really focusing the conversation towards the same type of causes,
mm-hmm.
just greater impact.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can actually solve for hunger within your employee group. And that's a really noble thing to do, right? That's exciting.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
And so, yeah, that's where we see most programs just, they have the right intentions, but we're just trying to really drive focus. And we're not saying giving is bad to these charities, but let's not miss this great opportunity we have within our own group.
It's right under your nose. Exactly.
So right in front of you.
Yeah. Oh, that's so, and there was an example, I think, of United Way, where one company gave a huge donation to United Way. I thought there was an anecdote that you had regarding that.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of companies do this, and we're actually partnering with United Way, so it's not about their work at all.
Right, right.
That clear. But what I say is a lot of companies will get in a routine of writing the same large dollar amount to the same charity every year without really thinking about it. And we see this all the time, and it's, these charities are doing great work, but the sad component is that company or those companies, we can precisely know that 30% of their employees and members or customers are dealing with these problems of food insecurity and financial scarcity. And so again, it's just how much of that, what percentage of that large dollar amount could go to completely eradicate these problems within your own community.
Do you think, and I don't even know if you even have data on this, but do you think those companies know that these issues are right underneath their nose?
Okay. No, that's the problem and the opportunity.
Yeah,
they don't know.
Yeah.
And we now have the data. So again, working with the United Way on this ALICE project, we can go into any state, county, and local area and see the exact numbers of households and people mm-hmm. that are in this negative cash flow position. And it's growing because of COVID. I mean, this has been a problem for decades. It's slowly gotten worse.
Mm-hmm.
But now you throw a global pandemic in the mix like COVID and the numbers are skyrocketing. So we're working off of 2018 data. I talked to the United Way yesterday and they're excited to be able to update the numbers based on, you know, 2020 census data. So it still won't be COVID data, but it's getting better. And what we know is it's just getting worse everywhere. So if it was 30% across the board, which was the national average, so 30% of all households in America were living with negative cash flow. That's what that says.
Yeah, the reason why I asked that question is like, yeah, these companies think they're doing, and they are, they're doing a great thing by giving to these charities, and the charities are doing great work, but they don't know that there's other issues right under their nose. My gosh.
Missing the opportunity. And that's how we frame it. Yeah. We just want to maximize your impact.
Yeah.
We're not saying that you're doing anything wrong.
Right.
We just want to help you maximize.
Totally innocent. Your
impact. Yeah. Totally. Yeah.
So I want to get to the connection, the credit union connection here. And you mentioned it already a couple of times, but can you kind of clarify what the credit union connection here is? Because we've already mentioned that this is in the credit union wheelhouse. This is in their DNA. So what else can you add to that?
Their wheelhouse. So it's their founding history. Every credit union has a similar story. We were founded X years ago by 4 or 5 employees of some union or employer or community.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because they had a need. Those employees, so Red Rocks was founded by 4 employees of Lockheed Martin. Why? Why would 4 employees of Lockheed Martin start a credit union?
Yeah.
Well, because they had a problem that they identified as a need, and they knew that a credit union, whether it was liquidity, access to capital, better savings vehicles,
could solve
it. The tax status, 501c14, right, is a, you know, credit unions are profitable, but by law, the profit needs to be reinvested back into the membership and hence the community. The products, let's talk about the products. What do these families that are just cash flow negative by either $100 to maybe $2,000, what do they need?
Yeah.
They need access to capital that's affordable, that's fast, so that they can bridge. We love PayActive and what they're doing with, you know, the documentary of it's about timing of pay more than the amount of pay. And that is so true that people don't understand.
Yeah.
If all my bills are due Wednesday, but payroll's on Friday, I'm going to get hit with fees, overdraft, late, bounce checks. And that sends me further backwards. So just being able to help people with liquidity and then build margin, savings accounts, rainy day funds.
Mm-hmm.
So that I could start getting out of debt. It's just that simple.
Yeah.
And we overcomplicate it and we think that we need to innovate with products. We really don't. Credit unions have the products that solve this problem. We just need to be better at communicating, messaging, telling the story, mm-hmm. and building these partnerships in the community. And that's right within the wheelhouse. And then the last thing is everybody's mission is literally aligned perfectly with creating flourishing in our communities based on helping people with their money. So there is no better entity on the planet, in my opinion, than a credit union for being really the most impactful organization in a city.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine any other organization, whether nonprofit or government, faith-based, that can solve these problems better than a credit union.
They're built for this. This is what they're, this is.
And they grow when they do that. So the whole saying of, you know, doing well by doing good is exactly the opportunity that credit unions have.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Gosh, oh my gosh. I could talk about this all day, Jada. This is amazing, amazing stuff. Where can folks go to find out more information here? I'm sure people are going to be like, hey, I want to know more about this because we might have this right underneath our nose as well. So we want to educate ourselves.
I want to share 2 things with you. So our website is communityimpactfund.org. Okay. You can find some information, but really we're excited. We've been working hard on just teaching We see our role as being able to inspire others to think this way. And that's why I was excited to be on the show.
Yeah.
So we have a new product. It's a free resource for credit union executives to teach them everything that I've learned over the last 2 years working within a credit union, within this nonprofit sphere. It's online video-based training. It's about an hour and a half total of content. And you can find that at creditunionimpactacademy.com. And that is a brand new free resource for credit union executives. I would encourage you to go and check that out and then share it with any other credit union executive that you know. It's all about helping credit unions connect these dots to just realize that they are in this position, that they have this opportunity to do good in the community, tremendous good, and then grow to do well by doing it and to grow membership, to grow deposits and to grow loans by doing good. And so we're excited about that content. We really think that there's a need for it. So yeah, creditunionimpactacademy.com. And
cool.
And that'll be a great resource.
Right on. Yeah, we'll put that link in the show notes for sure. And yeah, just, oh my gosh, this is amazing stuff. Anything else to wrap up here, Judah? Any final words?
I don't think so. I'm excited. My team's excited. We're growing pretty fast working with credit unions. Just starting in January working with credit unions around the country. And it's just exciting. It feels like a groundswell of, you know, collective impact. Let's really turn credit unions into what they're meant to be.
Yeah.
And really get on the same page with how we drive maximum impact. So it feels like a fun time to be in the industry, and there's just so much opportunity.
Well, especially as we're coming out of the crazy 12 months that we've had, this is such a refreshing message and a total value add to a credit union. There's so much upside with this. So it's like, it's almost like, why didn't I think of that type of thing, you know?
Well, it's not too late to get started. And yeah, the past is the past. So we don't need to regret not doing things like this. Let's just move forward with confidence that we can do these things and grow our organization at the same time.
Fantastic, Judah. Great stuff. Judah Music from the Community Impact Fund and then the Academy as well. We'll put all that stuff in the show notes so people can get right to it and give you a shout if they have any questions or want to get involved. Fantastic. All right, Judah. Well, I want to check back in maybe down 6 months down the road or something like that and see how you guys are doing. This is really great stuff. I mean, and I just love the cohesion that you guys have with credit unions. The way you guys mesh is just perfect. So really excited about this.
Well, thank you. Thanks again for having me on.
Oh, you're welcome, Judah. Anytime, sir. Anytime.
Brought to you by Canvas Credit Union.